This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts. So surprised to see me.
Well, there you are. Oh, it's you.
Oh, I feel like we just got a countdown from some like a news thing. And in 5, 4, and then silent 3, 2. And then Karen looked at me and went, "Hey, Georgia.
Good evening." This is Georgia Hardstar.
No, it's not.
Are we starting?
Oh.
And
one.
Begin.
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
How are you?
Welcome.
Thank you.
Georgia.
Thank you
so your own
much.
Show.
Thank you. Thank you to welcoming my show and my apartment.
And your, oh my God, welcome to your apartment.
Thank you.
That's your bedroom.
Thank you.
Please feel free to use your bathroom.
Thank you. Should I hover though?
When yeah, I pee? That'd be better because I don't want your germs in here.
My butt.
Ugh. I don't want your butt around. This is my favorite murder mini-sode where we read you your hometown murders.
Yeah. And they're because we get so many and they're great. And you guys
should I
are,
say the number?
The phone number?
Oh. Yeah, should I give your phone number?
We should have a phone number. Oh my God.
1-800.
We should.
Kill, kill, kill. No, I was going to say the amount, the number of.
Yes.
11,279 emails are in our inbox
unread.
Right now. No brag.
Unread.
No brag.
It's not a brag because it's making us go out of our fucking minds with anxiety.
It's not a brag because now it's Steven's job.
Yeah. So next, people who send them to us now, write them to Steven. It's really exciting because I feel like Steven's about to like, it's like January. It's like a brand new year.
We've got a plan. We're going to take care of business.
Yeah. We're going to get fucking A-bombed, but doesn't matter. In the meantime.
No. Yeah. Until that, you know what it is? It's a race to that. And until then, we're going to be so organized.
It's a race war to that.
Steven is going to take care of our emails. I'm just ignoring
sorry.
That.
Yeah, wait, what about race war?
Edit that out. Edit that out. I'm on the... Okay.
You're talking Keith Papini style.
No, no,
we
no.
are not trying to start a race war.
I'm fighting Keith Papini.
Oh, okay.
I'm not on his side.
No, okay. Of course not.
My point is that Steven's going to be taking over a lot of shit, and I'm really excited about it because
I like that
perfect.
We're telling people as if they're super stressed about it when we're the ones that are super stressed
oh,
about
right.
it.
Oh, right.
They don't give a...
Just like... Yeah.
No brag. My inbox is empty.
This is why we fucking hired you, Steven.
That's
like
right.
We wouldn't have hired someone who has, we wouldn't have hired ourselves, but somehow we got the job.
I also got to do the brag that Steven, when Steven said his inbox was empty, I looked at mine, 19,810 emails.
When will, you know what? If it's important, they'll email you again 4 times.
If it's important, I'll get a UPS registered letter
saying you owe, and then you'll put it somewhere else and you'll get 4 more.
I figure if it's important, the sheriff will pull up, guns a-blazing, and take me down to the station. That's the hope.
And then I'll come, but like bail you out.
Yes, maybe. You will, please.
Maybe. I'll let you learn a lesson for a night, though.
Oh, that's a good
you know
idea.
I mean?
Yeah, teach me a lesson.
I'm going to let you learn your lesson.
About emails. So here, do you want to start?
Wait. No, you go.
Okay. Here's the first one that I picked, and it's because... It's from Erin, and the subject line is, I was getting laid while they were getting slayed. That's right. That's how we're kicking off January.
Holy
punk, rock, kick in the air.
Shit.
Hey, you guys, and that's all a bunch of E's, a bunch of O's, and a bunch of U's. Hey, you guys.
You refuse to say it.
I won't do it. This isn't Sesame Street. So I listen to you guys when I'm driving, working, cooking, and showering. It's dangerous. And it's gotten to the point where I now use murderino lingo in my common daily life. I own a restaurant. Ooh.
Ooh.
And recently, during a shift, said to my crew, bye. Granted, I look a little like Luke from Gilmore Girls.
Don't know who that is.
Me either.
I'm assuming
shorter. She said a shorter, more lesbian Luke.
Is Luke one of the ladies?
No, I think Luke is the male lead.
Okay, got it, got it.
But sorry. We'll have to check our sources, Stephen. So those words coming out of my mouth were not expected one bit. My staff stopped in their tracks like a scratched record, staring at me. Oh, well. So here's my hometown murder. I grew up in Lititz, Pennsylvania, no where way. Nothing but chocolate and pretzels happen.
I got little tits, too.
Georgia said that with one hand on her chin, so kind of like a sassy librarian. I wish you could have seen it. I got little tits, too. Okay. Lititz. Lititz was voted coolest little town or something ridiculously homie like that. And folks who grew up there usually stay there. It's a snow globe town. Adorable as fuck. In the neighborhood where my parents lived, there were a group of kids that were all within 3 to 5 years of each other, like a ton. We used to play collective neighborhood flashlight tag, kick the can, capture the flag, you get it. I moved away for college and only came back for a short time while my mom was sick. I was 24 at the time and hated being back in my childhood room. But you know, nothing says independence like sleeping on a twin bed under your third grade class picture.
Oh.
She's really painting a picture for us.
Yes.
I was casually dating this girl who also lived at home, winners, and we literally never were alone. One night, while my parents were on vacation, we stole the house and did what any early 20s heart-struck lesbian couples do, got wasted and watched Disney movies.
Aww.
That totally went in a direction I didn't expect.
I didn't either.
In the morning, we scrambled to leave for work and were immediately circled by police. I was convinced my parents had found out about our rager and couldn't believe they called the cops. I rolled down my window and the police officer yelled, "What are you doing here?" I told him I was going to work, which he said, "Not this way, you aren't. There's some crazy stuff that happened up the street. You have to stay inside."
Oh my God.
So I called into work with no details. Awesome way to get fired. And stayed inside like the cop told me to. 3 hours later, we got a visit from the same police officer who told us there had been a murder up the street. Michael and Catherine Borden, who lived 200 yards from me, were both murdered in their home by their daughter's boyfriend, David Ludwig.
You piece of shit.
David, 18, who was dating their 14-year-old daughter, was found to be sexually active with her. After being forbidden to see each other, Ludwig broke into their house, killed both parents, and then fled with their daughter, Kara. At the point the cop had come to my house, they were still on the run. Eventually, David wrecked the getaway car into a tree in Indiana after a chase, and they recovered Kara. Kara attended her parents' funeral sitting next to her other siblings. Fuck.
What? No, get the fuck out of here.
Initially, they sought the death penalty for David, but after a plea, he was given life imprisonment with no hope for parole. Now we know
that's
what that means.
That's how we need to fucking end that.
After that, the house became neighborhood scare shack where kids playing flashlight tag would go up and see how close they could get to the front door before they freaked out and ran back. Shows that you never know what's happening in a small town. Anywho, Elvis, you're awesome. Ladies, thank you so much. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered. Aaron. That was awesome, but also fuck.
I don't want kids, like, especially after this podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. What if you raise a kid? Like, I don't know what's worse, having the daughter or the shitty boy who's dating a 14-year-old who kills the family.
I mean, you just can't control fate. That's the thing. Whether you have kids and they grow up and then they're old and they live next door to you and nothing ever happens, or a boulder rolls down your street.
That's true.
Or like James and the Giant Peach. His parents, remember?
Yes, they got run over by a rhinoceros. That probably shaped me. And so, like, that was my... Right. Yes. The rhinoceros escaped the zoo, right?
Yep. And they ran down the street and ran over his parents. And then he had to go live with Aunt Spiker and Aunt Sponge.
Oh, my God.
The two worst aunts of all time.
Is this why we must have a connection on this level? Because Roald Dahl is my fucking favorite person in the whole world.
He's the best, and he hated children. Did you know that?
No.
He hated children, and I think he may have been either an anti-Semite.
Oh, cool.
There was some questionable stuff.
Okay.
That is surprising for a person who wrote things like The Big Friendly Giant and Danny, the Champion of the World.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite books of all time.
Please don't ruin James and the Giant Peach for me.
can't do it. How can you
An anti-Semite wrote it. Yeah, that's how you ruin
sorry,
it.
Sorry, that's exactly right. Isn't it offset by by living on a peach that you can just eat as it
with insects. With like the coolest insects.
When my teacher read that in like fourth grade, I just sat there going, I want to live on a peach bad.
I want to eat my home.
I love peaches.
I love peaches.
I want to eat my home.
Yeah. Oh, God.
All right. Thanks, Erin.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. This one is called, let's see, which one should I do first? Okay.
Oop. God damn it.
Okay. This one's called, it says Hometown Story, then in all caps, You Will Die.
Yes.
This is from Olivia. Hey, ladies, I'm obsessed with your podcast, and you, my fiance, thinks I should be hospitalized and that I'm planning his murder. You will die at this story. So good. So the quote is Bonnie and Clyde for some reason. Okay, so my fiance went to high school with this couple, Heather, who's now 20 years old, and Tommy, who's now 22. Heather came from a wealthy family and is a bit of a troublemaker growing up. She had a tumultuous relationship with her mother because of this, and it got worse when she started dating a, quote, bad boy named Tommy.
Yes, from the wrong side of the track.
Hey, man.
Tommy. Just a white t-shirt all the time.
Naked from the waist down in a white t-shirt. What? Tommy, gross.
Porky Pig in a white t-shirt.
About 2 years ago, Heather's mom, Sheila, arranged a luxurious trip to Bali for her and Heather to iron out their relationship. Oh,
yeah, that's how my family does it.
They were going to get like vacation braids and shit.
Yeah, we just put on some sarongs in Bali and just talk shit through.
That's why my mom and I are best friends. No, it's not, because we don't talk.
No.
Tommy unexpectedly joined them. I'm sorry. And Sheila was not happy. How did you unexpectedly jump on a plane to Bali?
Yeah, that's... It becomes expected when you're shelling out $8,000 for Tommy.
Totally. During the trip, the couple told Sheila that they were expecting a baby.
Oh.
Sheila did not think Tommy was a good guy, and she was not pleased about the news. During a confrontation, the mother was beaten to death by Tommy with a glass ashtray.
Oh my God.
Holy fuck. The couple smashed the lifeless body into a suitcase, called a taxi, put the suitcase into the taxi, told the taxi driver they would be right back, and ran away. What?
What? That is not a
plan. That's not a good plan. After some time went by, the taxi driver got suspicious, and discovered it was a dead woman in his trunk. They looked into the hotel surveillance footage and tracked down a couple by the airport trying to flee the country. Heather and Tommy tried to claim it was self-defense because Sheila attacked them after learning about the unborn baby. Yeah, fucking right.
Yeah, right.
However, the authorities later discovered that the couple had planned the murder for months. Whoa.
They planned the murder for months, and an ashtray is what they're going to use?
Yeah, yeah. In Bali?
Yeah.
Bali? Bali.
I don't know.
I'm never going to go there. That's the one place that I won't go for our tour.
Why?
No, I'm just kidding. That's not the place. People want another place.
You're finally revealing the city, and it's Bali.
It's like the most beautiful place ever. I won't go there.
This is where we find out that Bali is not in the United States.
Wait, what? I thought there were 51. Let's see here. Steven's choking.
Sorry.
Sorry, we're so funny, Steven.
Sorry, Steven.
They use the code term saying hi, quote, for any time they would talk about the planned murder. These people sound fucking stupid. Don't you think this is a perfect time to go and say hi? Or let's say hi after we tell her the news. Heather and Tommy got convicted and they're both still in Bali prison. Oh, you don't want to be in Bali prison, I'm guessing.
Is that the bad spot?
I don't know. I just don't want to be. I don't know.
It's Heather, like a jail out over blue crystal waters.
It sucks.
Horrible.
There's like chaise lounges and shit.
So much drinking out of coconuts.
Oh, so many coconuts. Heather had her baby and is raising her daughter in the Bali prison. It also came out that in Chicago, where were you raised? In a prison.
In a Bali prison with my mom. I'm a victim here. I'm totally innocent. But
we should go visit my hometown. It's a fucking maximum security prison.
This is where we had Christmas.
Oh my God.
In its corner.
This is where my mom had, what's it called when you're by yourself the whole day?
Being super lonely?
No,
that's
life.
Isolation issues?
It also came out that in Chicago, where Heather grew up, that the police had been called to their house over 90 times because Heather would abuse her mom. Why the fuck was nothing done? Heather and Tommy both still post on social media like lunatics all the time and call. And my fiance is, quote, friends with both of them because he knew them back in high school. I'm sorry. He's calling her fucking crazy and he's friends with fucking murderers on Facebook.
This whole thing is gone. This person might be a little stone and just writing whatever comes to their head.
I think this is Olivia's call for cry for help that her fiance is a visually, I mean, what's the word when you're speaking, vocally abusing her? What's the word?
Verbally.
Thank you.
You are visually abusing me. You're vocally
abusing
me.
You look like
me.
Shit.
Your vocals suck. You look terrible.
He's gaslighting her. He's telling her she's crazy. And meanwhile, he's like, hey, happy birthday, Heather.
There's so many victims in this story.
Let's
I don't know
how
to start.
Da-da-da-da. I live for their social media posts and I can't look away. In recent posts to her more than 1,750 Instagram followers, have. Why do you get fucking Instagram in prison?
I mean, listen, wouldn't you follow someone that's in a Bali prison?
But why does she get Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Because I think Bali prison is the shit.
Okay, here's what she wrote. Do you want to know what Heather wrote on her Instagram?
Yeah.
I know y'all haters getting ready to throw me at home a homecoming party. I know y'all haters getting ready to throw me a homecoming party.
So that's wrote. Sarcasm.
Probably not. I think sarcasm is for smart people. There are so many more details and I don't want this to be too long. So here's the link. Love you both. XOXO Olivia.
Olivia, what the hell did you just tell us?
Honey, there are places you can go to get away.
Is Heather leaving Bali prison to go to a cyber cafe down the street from the prison to log on? Or does she get to have her own laptop in Bali prison?
I bet you. Why would prisoners have access to computers?
I mean, did she earn it? Did she mop really hard that week?
Like high school students, we barely got access to computers.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then it was only like fucking the Oregon Trail and shit.
And also, what's that baby like? Does it have long hair like a hippie baby?
No, it's got fucking vacation braids.
Like it's been on a carnival cruise its whole life.
Should we both do one more?
Sure. Okay. That was fucking nuts. All right.
Man, again, this one is called Don't Have Children.
I mean,
you know what? Don't have teenagers.
That's right. I'm going to do this one from Thomas. I always want to say the last name.
I know.
The subject line is, my mom almost went on a blind date with a special ed teacher / killer.
Oh, man.
Okay. Hi, Murder Queens. Ooh, I like that. That's fun.
Fuck yeah.
Longtime listener, first time emailer, and then a smiley face made with parentheses and stuff. Elvis, not now. So when I was 8 years old, my folks got divorced. 2 years later, in 1992, my mom was... Oh, my God. I was already a deep alcoholic at this point. My mom...
Wait, you were?
It's not about me. Okay. 2 years later, in 1992...
Only about you.
In 1992, my mom was ready enough to try to start dating again.
I'll do it.
She had a close friend that she worked with, we'll call him Sammy, that lived near us with his wife. He really felt bad for my mom and her ugly divorce and offered to set her up with his brother on a blind date. Stephen Clark Foster was a special ed teacher at a suburban elementary school in the Portland, Oregon area called Oregon City. Everything went to hell, however, just 1 week before she was to go on the date with Sammy's brother. This was early October 1992, and the principal from Stephen Foster's school, Alan Dean Gallagher, had gone missing.
Gallagher.
And the comedian. His first name's Alan.
Is it?
No.
Oh.
And that was a way inside baseball stand-up comedy
it
joke
was.
About
and
the comedian Gallagher.
I am not way into baseball.
But it also wasn't funny. So he had gone missing and hadn't been heard from in nearly a week. Likely racked with guilt and shame, Stephen Foster called 911 from a payphone to say that he had information regarding the principal's disappearance. I believe the police dispatcher told him to stay there. They'd have a patrol car come to his location at the payphone to speak with him. However, he panicked, got in his car, and left. Police did not find him at the phone booth, however. They later spotted his car driving on the I-405 in downtown Portland. Foster eventually pulled his car over atop the Fremont Bridge, the highest bridge over the Willamette River, and was observed pacing back and forth.
Bye.
Obviously, the police feared he was contemplating jumping to his death. The homicide detectives that followed him were able to convince him to get into their car with them and go talk with them at a safer location off the bridge. Foster admitted that he had some sort of dispute with his principal. I believe he was caught stealing something from the school or someone at the school, as Foster had multiple arrests in the past for theft over the years. But they go ahead and hire him as a teacher.
Hired.
Yeah. And then he's just like packing that backpack with Post-it notes. He stated that he lured Gallagher to his home where he repeatedly stabbed his boss in the chest, neck, and abdomen until he died.
Don't do it.
Foster drove Gallagher's body 35 miles west of Portland, buried his body in a shallow grave while the detectives were waiting for officers from Oregon City to arrive at where they had pulled over with Foster. The special ed teacher slid over from the front passenger seat into the driver's seat of the detective's cruiser after slipping his handcuffed hands from his back to his front side. Ooh. And began to take off, pedal to the metal. As he nearly hit the officers as he pulled out, one of the detectives opened fire with his service pistol and two bullets struck Foster in the abdomen. Foster didn't make it very far thereafter, crashing the cruiser into a utility pole just down the street. Foster would be taken to the hospital where he would later succumb to his wounds and die. Officers were able to use the information Foster gave them just before shooting to locate the principal's body that later that day. Needless to say, that put my mom off dating even longer.
I was going to ask how the date was.
After that near date with a killer, best wishes from Murderino Thomas. Stay sexy. Don't get dead. P.S. I'm also a distant relative of Charles Lindbergh and the Lindbergh baby.
Oh, I love
that fascinating
story.
Murder in itself. I agree. I'm fascinated with that murder.
Yeah, it's so sad.
It's so what happened?
I know.
Because the person, what?
I think I know what happened. I think it got so foiled in the beginning. I don't want to say what it is in case we both do it.
Okay. Should we both do it one time?
We should both
do
it.
Debate.
Debate the same point.
Just so you know, he also says he got his tickets for the Dollop's 1126 Portland show this week. Can't wait. Oh, we don't give a shit if you're going to the Dollop.
Fuck the Dollop. No,
fuck
I love
you. No, just kidding. We love the Dollop. They're our sister podcast.
They are. And that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So it doesn't matter. Thanks, Thomas.
So we can plug it all we want.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not going to fucking
there's nothing
encroach
you can do
on
now.
Our motherfucking. Wow, man, that sucks.
That's, well, what's crazy to me is he got caught stealing from something from a school. So he stabbed the principal repeatedly.
Get fired.
What?
Collect unemployment.
What could be in that school? A typewriter? Like, what's the most valuable thing?
In the
90s. A volleyball
net?
It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't.
A vending machine?
It had to be more than that. I bet it was like he was molesting children.
Yeah.
But why wouldn't they?
Maybe it's not, they can't prove it, so they're just saying it's like a...
How, I want to know, like, immediately I was like, the cop who was able to talk him off the ledge and into the cop car, like, that guy deserves a medal, and then some fucking rookie cop, like, ruined it for him.
What, because the way he put the...
Because he put the handcuffs on wrong, or not tight, or he put him in the front seat instead of locking him in the back, and then shot him. And the guy was like, I was about to get a fucking medal for, like, talking this guy off a fucking bridge.
You made the medal up, though.
But let's pretend there's a medal.
You're right, you're right. But what I was going to say is, what if he's one of those, like... Like, from a distance, you're just like, oh, that's just some dude. But then underneath, like, his sweater, he's, like, a total yoga guy. So, like, he was going to be able to flip those, like, get his, like, double jointed or weirdly able to get... Getting your hands from back to front.
Oh, yeah.
In handcuffs is not an easy thing to do. In a car.
But what did you think was going to happen? I thought you were going to ask if he was going to do, like, a fucking handstand off the bridge.
Just hypnotize everybody.
Wanted to do a sun salutation,
and then they're like, "You know what? I think he's a good guy.
Yeah, let him go.
He's good at yoga.
Let him go. Let go. Let God." Okay,
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient. Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about made-in cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made-in.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem's solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager, and companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information, so you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1, as in the number 1, password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Last one. This one is called My Aunt and Uncle Were Friends with a Murderer. And Yay. He was a mortician.
What?
Whoa, Jessica.
Levels.
Jessica. Hi, Georgia and Karen. Love your podcast, obviously. My best friend and I are obsessed and basically wanted to be you guys when we grow up. Are you calling us old?
That's rude.
So here's my fave murder probably ever. Also, I don't make this sound interesting because I might... Wait. Also, if I don't make this sound interesting because I might not, just watch the movie about the guy. Nope, girl, this is all about your fucking story.
Yeah, that's right. Time to shine.
My uncle was in mortuary school in Lake Charles, Louisiana, probably?
Mm-hmm. Does it say LA?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And worked side by side with this really nice guy named Bernie Tide. They worked T-I-E-D-E. They worked at a local funeral home together, basically 24/7 for a year. I recently texted my uncle about it, and he casually responded, "We would go to remove dead people from their places of death together, embalm together, and work funerals together." You get the idea.
Just like wrote, the Vernon Shirley.
She wrote, you know, the usual. My aunt and uncle then moved to the Shreveport area, but kept in touch with Bernie. Apparently, he would visit them in Shreveport while he was living in Catheridge, Texas. I know that's Texas. And they would have him over for dinner and catch up. Okay, here's where the story gets awesome. So Bernie was in Catheridge doing his mortician thing for a small town, running the funeral home, etc. And he was like the nicest guy, apparently. Everyone in the community loved him. In 1990, is this the short, is this what fucking Zach Galifianakis?
It's Jack Black.
Fuck. Sorry.
But you're thinking of the, that's the other one where they were both running for mayor or whatever?
No, I'm not. Are you
the
sure?
The one you're thinking of is Bernie, which is Jack Black, where it's the little mustache and the curly hair.
I think it's Zach Galifianakis.
I'm telling you.
I believe you, but I think it is.
This is a Veronica Lake situation where I guarantee you.
Karen, I have never been wrong in the past this 30 is, seconds before this.
Here's how I know. Because I love the movie Bernie, because I could watch Jack Black do nothing. But in this movie, he is so insanely hilarious.
Okay, you have to admit that they both kind of like resemble each other, so I'm not insane.
No, not in the least. And they're both playing like effeminate Southern
yes.
guys with like mustaches.
What Zach Galifianakis plays when he plays his brother.
Yes,
it's
exactly.
The same character.
In Baskets, right. Okay. It's the same thing in that one, but that's one where he's running against yes. Will Ferrell. In Bernie, which right. is based on a true story. Yes. It really
I'm
happened.
Thinking of that movie. I think I'm just thinking of the wrong person.
Yeah, you've recast it.
Listen, I have to air freshener at 13 years old. Like, I'm not going to fucking remember everything, and I'm okay. Like, I accept that.
This is called the Febreze excuse, and I'm sick of hearing it.
It was like a grocery store brand, fucking
like anyways. Glade.
Don't do drugs. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So he met this lady, Marjorie Marge Nugent, awesome, at her husband's funeral. Everyone says Marjorie was this total bitch, really bitter and pretty much hated everyone, which is who I want to be when I'm old.
Yeah, and I will be.
Okay, but Bernie, who was in his early 30s, and Marjorie, who was around 80, became inseparable. Pretty bizarre. In 1991, she had disinherited her son and left her $5 million estate to Bernie. Okay, what? She says. And was kind of estranged from her kids, apparently. By 93, Bernie left his job to work for her full-time as her business manager and travel companion. Oh my God, it's Steven. That's Steven's role.
Oh my God, Steven's our Bernie.
Steven, that's your title. Basically, he was his old lady's...
He has the mustache.
He does. Basically, he was his old lady's assistant. So 3 years later, in 96, people noticed Marjorie never left her house. Bernie, who was essentially spent all his time in her estate, just said she was very ill and was taking care of her. Bernie kept up the act for 9 months, claiming she was ill and didn't want to leave the house and didn't want to speak to anyone. Basically, the kids came over and found her body in a freezer.
Ew.
She had shot her in the back 4 times and then put her freezer and then put her in the freezer in the garage. One of those old big standalone freezers, which are so fucking awesome because there's so many fucking TV dinners in there.
That's right. And like popsicles with the bomb you forgot were in there.
Yeah, like the shitty green and purple ones.
Yeah, that nobody wanted. And they kind of fell out of the box. And then you're like, well, you could go move those ribeye steaks
yeah,
over for wrapped in white paper.
Fuck, man.
And see if you can't get yourself an old fudgicle.
Expect that to end that way, and it was gorgeous. an old fudgicle. That's your nickname, the old fudgicle.
The old fudgicle.
Apparently, it was pretty shocking when everyone found out, because, like I said, he was a super nice guy until he snapped. Want to hear something funny? He was in charge of everything. If you want to watch the movie, which stars Jack Black and Matthew McConaughey, I would have fought you for that.
I know.
What is wrong with me?
No, I'm the exact same way. Because you have it in your head. Like, you can see it in your head. And so you're sure of it. I do the exact same thing.
I mean, you can't tell me that they weren't up for the role together. Like, you can't tell me.
No, you're still right, even though you're wrong. For sure.
I just want to be right on one fucking thing.
Yep.
It's called Bernie. It's on Netflix. Stay sexy. Don't get murdered, Jessica. P.S. Until 2014, Bernie had been serving a life sentence. Then some new info came out. Boring stuff that's not interesting. I won't even go into it. Honey, you need to stop. You're great. Got released on bail. Part of the terms were that between his release and resentencing, he had to reside in Austin. I don't know. Richard Linkletter's blah, 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 blah. Like, how in the actual fuck did they decide that it was a reasonable condition of his release? The end.
Oh, like basically that they were like, he's kind of nice and he's a good
So he gets to get out, but he has to live with this person.
Oh, I see. He has to live with filmmaker Richard Linklater.
Yes, I didn't read it that well.
If that's the terms of parole, then so be it.
I'll take it. Well,
I would recommend watching that movie, Bernie, if you are bored. Good. The only thing that's stressful for me, I was watching it, well, I would say about a year ago, and there's a part where Jack Black is singing a hymn in the church, and he's doing the thing where he moves his lip. It's just, he's the funniest person. Mm-hmm. But it's really stressful because if you are avoiding anything in your life, like mm-hmm. say a bill or there's something that's kind of hanging over your head, movies like that, like for me, it was stressing me out so bad because he's avoiding, like he's killed her, right? And so she's in the freezer and then he's trying to put people off and like do this dance and like around town, he's kind of like trying to like make it so that the problem never surfaces.
Like waiting to get found out is a stress for you.
Well,
like when you really kind of lied to someone and like you know they're gonna find out one day, so you have to tell them, but you don't want them to know. Like,
well, for me it's less of a lie and more of like the it was my for a long time it was my taxes that I never took care of, but I knew I had to.
Yeah,
but
and you're just like going about your life pretending that you don't have this huge fucking problem,
which drains you in every way and is so terrible to do to yourself, but you pretend like it's just easier to like to procrastinate than it is to take care of something, when actually it's the exact opposite. When you see it in a movie, you go, this is fucking ridiculous.
Like you're in pain for him.
Yes. And you see how dumb it is to do to yourself.
That's how I feel about people who like cheat on someone and then have to decide never to tell them.
Yeah.
Like I'd rather tell them and they break up with me than have to keep that for fucking 25 years.
But I think there are people who like cheating. They like having a secret. Like there's that thing too of people who are like,
I just told people that I fucking huffed air freshener. So clearly I'm not one of those.
You're not a
people.
Secret person. No, I don't think I am either. But I realized that that used to make me really mad about people, like how dishonorable it is. And it's like, everybody has a thing.
Let them have it.
Let them have their thing.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Just don't be a dick.
Then you can just like, if you find out about it, you can just like walk away and be like, well, I wash my hands of you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like destroyed. It's like, that's your thing. What an unfortunate situation for you.
Therapy. Yeah. Like tell your therapist.
Find something else. Wait, maybe you like kites. You're not even giving him a chance because you're so into cheating.
Oh my God. People who like are really into kites. That's a thing.
Oh my God. That's what it is. They're like, I love box kites because I used to fuck every woman in town.
Also, I killed an old woman.
She's in the freezer.
She's still in the freezer.
Look at this kite. It has eyes. The eyes are looking down at you.
There's tails. Is that a thing on kites? Tails. Yeah. Oh my God.
It's a huge piece of kites.
Uncle Andy's really into tails. I mean, kites.
All right.
Thanks for listening to
is this again?
Maybe the craziest episode of the Minnesota.
This is a great one. Thanks for sending those in.
Yeah, keep doing it.
Keep doing it. It's good times.
MyFavoriteMurder@gmail. Say what's up to Steven.
Say what's up to Steven. Tell him to get on his homework. Really
tell him to make our fucking lives easier already.
Please,
if Jesus. You could.
It's 2017 already. And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered.
Bye.
Bye. Elvis, you want a mini cookie? He's eating, I can hear.
Yeah.
You want a mini cookie?
Yeah.
There we go.
Okay, bye.
Bye.